our reading this morning a little bit from the Gospel. As we heard, Pontius Pilate is in Jerusalem, and he is to oversee the time of the Passover festival, with thousands of Jews visiting the city for that event. Perhaps picture in your mind the crowds visiting London for that royal wedding earlier this year. Similarly, people would have travelled back to Jerusalem from miles around, and they would have set up their tents to sleep in as they waited for the festivities to begin. Have you ever been to a party where everyone around you seems to be having fun but you? Well, the latest one that I hosted, I enjoyed up until about 2 o'clock in the morning, when 8 young children having their first sleepover were still awake. Well, everyone in Jerusalem is getting ready to party, apart from Pilate, who really wants to go home. He wants to go back to Caesarea by the sea, with its Colosseum, with its amphitheatre, with its tasteful renovations, it having undergone Herod's latest project, its sophisticated sewer system, even. By contrast, Jerusalem is crowded, Jerusalem is dusty, and Jerusalem is oppressive. Quite literally, Jerusalem stinks. Pilate just wants to get it all over and done with without incident. He has some serious crowd controls to face. And a crowd do indeed press in on him the next morning, as we heard, and early. A crowd determined to get rid of Jesus. They bang on Pilate's door. They are rude enough to suggest that he come outside to inquire after their needs, else they might suffer ritual defilement, for entering the property of a Gentile would make them unclean. This would prevent them from celebrating the Passover, and that's the last thing they want. This is an event they don't want to miss. Now, at this festival, they would have celebrated their ancestors' release from captivity in Egypt back in the days of Moses. And it was also an exciting time because it was believed that if the promised Messiah were to set them free again, this time from Roman oppression, he would surely choose Passover to do so. Oh, the irony. They miss the entire point. They miss the fact that that very promised Messiah stands before them. As they prepare to feast on lamb, they prepare also to offer up to death the very Lamb of God himself. There is much that we can learn about them from completely missing the point. Pilate, from whom we also have as much to learn, and my focus for this morning, needs to get to the bottom of what's going on quickly. He wants to get home, remember. So he seeks the truth behind the charges that these priests are levelling at Jesus. Those priests that woke him up so early in the morning. Of course, he looks for truth in all the wrong places too. And it's truth that I want us to dwell on this morning. Pilate's visitors charge Jesus with blasphemy. He claims to be the Son of God. But this merits stoning, not the death penalty. So they need Rome to administer the death penalty on their behalf. It's important, however, that Pilate does his job properly. He must establish Jesus' identity. Pilate has friends in high places, and his career means everything to him. As I was thinking about this passage, I thought about how actually we face these kinds of tests on a daily basis too, between aspiring to better ourselves, or so we think, and our part in the kingdom. And I was remembered of when I was 9 years old. I remember having some aspirations of my own. I wanted to join the girl gang in the street where I lived. And for some strange reason, that we were only nine, there were some qualifications for entry. I lived up north, so one of them was favourite football team, Manchester United. But also, favourite colour, red, and belief in God, none. So, I approached Julie, very trendy, a full year and a half older than me, and allowed to watch Top of the Pops when I wasn't. And I did the right thing by each criterion. But I then scurried off to a corner, though, to tell God, as I understood him then, but I hope he understood, that I loved him. I didn't mean it. And surely he knew how much I wanted to be in the gang. And as I spoke earnestly and pleadingly to God, in his own way, he revealed himself to me when I was 9, because I became acutely conscious that there I was actually talking to God. I must believe in you, I thought. Wow, I believe in you. And I scurried back, happy, and also joined the gang, because God can be very generous. As Pilate asks Jesus if he is the king of the Jews, he reveals that his only interest is in power. But to challenge this, Jesus talks about his kingdom and not his kingship. My kingdom is not of this world, he tells Pilate. It's not of this world because it's not from this world, but it is for this world. It is very good news for this world because it is the kingdom of truth. The past 2 weeks, we have all been exposed to the way that the news of the world has contaminated the truth through deceit, manipulation, and corruption, more interested in story at the cost of truth. The damage that's been done has been lasting and widespread. Jesus is truth, in contrast, a truth told to us in story, available to us through the Bible, becomes meaningful when we understand the Bible pointing to the person of Jesus, the living word, the living truth. In relationship with Jesus, we discern the truth of the Bible. So where Pilate is interested in power, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus is all about truth. King is your word, not mine. My task is to testify to the truth. Two worlds clash, one obsessed with power and another with the establishment of truth. Worlds that clash today as much as they ever did, whether we're children or adults. We must pray that we do not value power more than truth, even in our daily walk of faith. And how might we do this? I think we do this by ensuring that Pilate's final question is not our own. What is truth? Says Pilate. What is truth? And what is truth seems reasonable enough, but it is the stuff that makes for the competition that exists between faiths. Jesus wants us to contend with truth, the person. Truth, the person that is Jesus Christ. And it is when we begin to do this that all the other truths that we profess come to life. Truth is not only thought, truth is felt, and truth is acted upon. It's a way of life. What is truth is completely the wrong question to ask when we should be asking, who is truth? We have a responsibility, I think, not to repeat Pilate's mistake, to reduce Christianity to a set of truth statements that are grasped with the intellect. Truth is not a set of propositions because truth is a person. We'll be looking carefully at our creed in autumn with Anne at this church. And in the creed, we hear, do we not, that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. But perhaps it's not too radical to say that the church can suffer a kind of Pontius Pilate syndrome. When we reduce following in the way of Jesus to a subscription to a set of propositions, we can set up words that divide. If we're to recite the creed, a set of truths, we must do so from the perspective of relationship. Because when the Spirit breathes life into our words, we encounter the Word. The Jews failed to recognize their Messiah. We might fail to recognize the Christ in one another if we compare truth statements with our neighbor and think about who is the most right. Jesus asked Pilate whether he inquired as to whom Jesus were of his own volition or not. Jesus's was an appeal, even to Pilate. If Pilate were really asking, Jesus would reveal himself, and does so in the cross and the resurrection. If people ask us who Jesus is, let's hope they see it through our lives, through the way we worship, and through the welcome that we create in this place. We must ask Jesus to reveal himself in us and through us by engaging with Jesus at a heart level and a head level. I do not love my husband and my children because I state a set of beliefs about them. I love them in relationship with them, and I hope that I show it with my whole self. And I think it's the same in relationship with Jesus. We need to seek to love him with our whole selves. Tell it out. Be not afraid of showing emotion when we worship him. Seek to grow, indeed, in understanding too. In fact, in the Greek, I love that the word to know somebody, also has connotations of being intimate with. And I think we do well to consider that as we seek to know more about Jesus, we seek also to be intimate, as he loves us and knows us. In explaining what his kingdom is and is not, Jesus says that if his kingdom were of this world, his disciples would have risen up and fought to keep him from being arrested. In other words, the truth of Christ's kingdom can be seen in the behaviour of his disciples. So what does our behaviour say about Christ's kingdom? The church begins to heal. We sang a song about healing. The church begins to heal when we encounter the truth, the person that is Jesus Christ. When we see through that, therefore, Christ more obviously in one another. But there's more than that. Pilate missed the truth. He got the what, but he missed the who. He got the proposition, but he missed the person, the one standing right before him, the one who was born and came to testify to the truth. This is a truth that comes from listening to Jesus' voice, being in relationship with him. And in such a relationship, what is awesome is that we get to discover the truth also about ourselves. In fact, we become our truest selves because Jesus' truth brings freedom. Pilate, in contrast, was obsessed with what everybody else thought about him. Jesus will continue to encounter the wrong kinds of questions. We all ask them. Pilate walked away from the question. But Jesus does not. Jesus does not walk away from us and our questions. He wants to reveal himself as the answer to our questions. What we need to do is live into the answer. Journey together with the answer. Allow the answer to unfold in us and be patient with one another as we watch our transformation together. Pilate learned what he wanted to know, settled for that, and walked away. And what about us? Do we settle just for learning what we wanted to know? Or do we brave the question and stick around to meet with the real answer? Anne spoke at the end of June, when you looked at the beginning of John's Gospel, about how the word is not just an abstract concept. The word at the beginning of John's Gospel is a person. And the truth is a person. The The truth is Jesus. He invites us into a relationship with himself, and from there he reveals himself so that we also become our own truest selves. Live the question together in relationship with Jesus Christ. Allow him in his timing to reveal himself as the answer, and then just imagine the new things that he might be calling us all to. Amen.